Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, next on the T Nation, thanks for coming back and tuning in to part two of this week's show featuring a guy you're absolutely going to love. Joe Inman is so much fun. In this first segment of part two of the show, a guy who won four times between the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. He, like I say, just a delight to be able to talk to and have as part of the show. So you're really going to enjoy this segment. Following him is going to be David Abeles, who is the president and CEO of TaylorMade. Those guys have been a huge supporter of the show since the very beginning. David is always fantastic, always upbeat, always informative. So this is going to be a wonderful hour. Sit back, relax, and let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life. Before we get started, I want to remind you about our friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the T listener. That's the number 2UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Every January, PGA Tour Superstore pros meet every manufacturer, learn about the latest equipment, log thousands of hours of training, and together hit over 100,000 balls, all so they can get you the perfect fit.
All right, now making his Next on the Tee debut with me is Joe Inman. Let me give you a little background on Joe. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana. He played his college golf at Wake Forest, where he was a three-time All-American. He finished in the top five in the ACC Championship in 1967, 68, and 69, and he helped them win the team ACC Championship those years as well. He also finished in the top 20 in the National Championship during that time, including finishing tied for third in 1968. In that 68 season, he also won the Carolinas Open. He won the Arnold Palmer Award at Wake for being their top athlete in 1969. And that year, he was a member of the victorious U.S. Walker Cup team. He also won the North and South Amateur Championship, and he was inducted into the Wake Forest Sports Hall of Fame in 2002. He graduated Q School in 1973, and he played out on the PGA Tour from 1974 to 1986. Got his first tour win at the 1976 Kemper Open, and he was consistently among the top 60 money winners. He joined the Champions Tour in 1998, and he won the Pacific Bell Senior Classic that year. In fact, he won that tournament 3 years in a row, becoming one of the few players to ever three-peat at a tournament. He was named the Senior Tour Rookie of the Year in 98. And following his playing days, he was the head coach for Georgia State men's golf team. And in 2017, he was inducted into the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. He is John Inman's older brother. John joined me on the show a few weeks back, and I couldn't be more honored. I get to have Joe with me this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, buddy. How are you? I'd like to meet that guy, whoever that guy was you just described right there. I could smile.
I think you see him every morning in the mirror.
God almighty. It was way back in the 20th century though, you know.
Right. So Joe, I want to start our time. I want to go back to your college days because you were a walk-on. You didn't have a golf scholarship. How does a kid from Indy with no scholarship walk on at Wake Forest, one of the top golf programs in the country?
Well, I lived in Greensboro. Now, I went to Indianapolis to be born. My dad mom was in, and it was after World War II in 1947. They had no family there. So my mom went to Indiana. I was born in Indiana. She was there 2 weeks and came home. I lived in Greensboro all my life. So my dad was a contractor, and he built Wake Forest University. He built Bowman Gray School of Medicine. He built Grove Stadium. So he, you know, he, I knew coach, he knew coach. I just, the reason I didn't get a scholarship is basically two reasons. I was young. My birthday's November. John's birthday's November. We both went to college when we were 17. And I just didn't hit it very far. In other words, two of the kids on my high school team got scholarships, Buzz Sawyer and Charlie Snipes. And I was a walk-on because freshmen couldn't play, so we needed a lot of freshmen to play. And, you know, we'd won the state high school tournament 3 years in a row, but nobody seemed to notice I was low two of those 3 years. You know what I mean? I just don't hit it far. I have nothing that distinguishes me when I go out to play golf. The only thing that distinguishes me is when we get in and start counting, I do okay when we're counting up.
I know you didn't hit it a ton. There are guys out on the PGA Tour that don't all hit it a ton, but I don't know that that really matters. I get that distance gives you an advantage and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is the numbers on the scorecard, and your numbers were a lot lower than a lot of guys pretty consistently.
Well, look at the draft in football. Look at the draft in basketball. Look at the draft in baseball. If Greg Maddux was playing today, he never threw it 90 miles an hour. They wouldn't look at it. Tom Glavin, they wouldn't even look at it. You know, look at the guys they draft that are 4-3 and they're great wide receivers and they're out of the league in 2 years. I mean, you can't see in somebody's heart. You can't see into somebody's mind. There, you need you go any further than Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. Okay. I mean, you can't see what's inside someone. And, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in college, in golf, was going to Wake Forest. And I was around people that were the best players in the country, basically. And, you know, I grew up with five brothers and sisters, and, you know, when they put it on the table, I can get there faster than you. I mean, I didn't realize how competitive I was. I really, because it seemed normal to me. We were all, hey, look, there's not enough food here. Get what you can. And so I think about it a lot when I watch this Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he won his fourth in a row or fourth out of five. And he almost apologized. He's such a sweet kid. He said, look, I don't know what it is, but there's just something inside of me. When they ring the bell, the fire comes out. He said, it just, you know, it really doesn't mean that much to me, but I can't help myself, you know? And that's just says so much about his character, that here's a guy that's really almost apologizing for being really competitive.
You mentioned the guys that you got to be around. Your teammates were Lanny Watkins. You had Leonard Thompson on that team as well. What was it like playing alongside those guys?
Well, Leonard, you know, weighs 210. He was, you know, 6'1", 210. I weighed 135 pounds when I went to college. And Leonard was my roommate my freshman year. And, I mean, I see Leonard now once a year, twice a year. I just loved being, you know, I loved seeing him. He was one of the major reasons that he helped me. He didn't know he was helping me, but, you know, he pushed me. He dissed me, which was, you know, all right. Okay. we'll see how this works, you know, and he pushed me and he drove me to play better. And, I just wanted to figure out, you know, I wanted to figure out how to play. I didn't have any aspirations of the tour. I never thought I was good enough. I felt like an imposter for 13 years on the PGA Tour. I kept thinking, how in the world? I'd look up at that scoreboard and go, how are you doing this? And I mean, really, it's like you watch Corey Pavin. Corey Pavin, and I love Corey. Corey Pavin and I couldn't play today. We just don't have the power. But in our day, with a ball that curves so much, you know, you had to control it. And he was great around the greens. He was had tremendous willpower. He was a great putter. And I just figured out in my generation, if you go to East Lake where they play the Tour Championship or Atlanta Country Club, they're par 72s. You got Wailea where they play the Hawaiian Open. When I played it one time and it was a par 72. And I shot 72, 72 and made the cut. Well, now it's a par 70. So that would have been four over par. And I knew, I said, gosh, I can't quite get to these par fives. This is, you know, and it's regulated airfares. It's back in the 70s. There's seven tournaments on the West Coast, and this is one of them. So I'm going to play the other six, and I'm going to skip this one. I went one time. I never went back because I just knew that that was a hard course for me. So all the courses now that are par 70, they were par 72. If you go play East Lake right now, it'll open before the tournament. If you get an invitation to go play East Lake, it's par 72. The first hole is a par five. It's 500 yards uphill. And I promise you it's a par five. Well, for them, it's a par four. And number 14 down the hill, dog leg to the right a little bit, is 520 yards. I promise you, for you and me, it's a par five. But for them, it's a par four. And so I'm thankful I'm the age I am because I could play out there. I don't think I could do it now.
So I think you're selling yourself really short because as I look at a lot of the things that you accomplished over the course of your career, I mean, you shot even par in the 1968 National Championship, still one of the best rounds in Wake Forest history. It was played out there in New Mexico State's golf course. Greer Jones at Oklahoma State won the individual title that year. Florida won the team title led by Steve Melnick. But here you are. You're right in the thick of that thing. I mean, look, the equipment's different. The golf courses are different. The grasses are everything's different from a technology perspective. Why don't you think you could go out there today with the technology they have? Because, look, Justin Thomas is nobody's beast.
So yeah, but he hits the ball. He's not short. I mean, the ones that are really doing it that are not really long right now that I just really admire, JT Poston is not terribly long, but he's in the medium. Brendan Todd is not very long. You can see Zach Johnson. He just can't, you know, he's getting older and he's staying competitive for the Champions Tour. But guys who are not long, yeah, you can play Colonial. You can play Harbortown. I'm going to take you to Bethpage Black and tell me how you do. Okay. let me put you up there and tell me how you do. There are just some courses. If you're not long, that's when you set a schedule. Duffner, we played the Auburn's tournament and Jason talked to him and he said, there are just some courses I don't go to. He loved Innisbrook. Well, Innisbrook goes left and right and the big hitters have to hit irons off the tee. I want to go to a place that turns, that's narrow and the big guys got to hit irons. Okay, now I'll go. I can be competitive. But when you go to a course that Firestone, par 70, 7,300, 7,400, just these long holes. Okay, I'll skip that.
All right, so you got to be teammates again with Lanny Watkins, and I mentioned Steve Melnick a moment ago, plus Alan Miller, who's been on this show. You got to team up with those guys in the 1969 U.S. Walker Cup. Matches were played that year at the Milwaukee Country Club. You're 2-0 in those matches. Talk about what it was like for you being a part of that Walker Cup team.
Well, if you go to Milwaukee Country Club, which I did in 16, I think it was, to go back and we played in 68, so 48 years later. And on the wall, they have the team. Well, they have Hubert Green and Bob Barbarossa because they were on the team. I was second alternate. And what happened was the PGA Tour, the USGA went to the PGA Tour and said, look, we want the Walker Cup's in the United States. We want everyone who plays in the Walker Cup to play in the USA. So their deadline to enter the qualifying school was the Sunday before the USA, which means they could play in the Walker Cup and then turn pro. So they asked the tour to move it 1 week sooner, and they did. and Hubert Green and Bob Barbarossa turned pro. So I was second alternate. I got to play on the team. And I only played two of the four matches because I was an alternate. You know, I wasn't. And Billy Joe said, you know, we might have done better if I'd have played Joe a little more often. But, you know, I was very good in match play, and I never could understand that. And one of the guys on the team said, Inman, you're just such an idiot. I said, what do you mean? He said, look, you're always the first one to hit because you're the shortest off the team. You're in the fairway. You hit it on the green or around the green 18 times. Everybody who is hitting their second shot, they're looking at your ball on the green or in good position 18 times in a row. You put pressure on other people. And I looked at him. I said, I didn't know being short was an advantage. You know, I mean, I played Lanny. I beat Lanny in the finals of the North South. And I won the Carolinas Junior when I was 17. And I lost to Alan Miller in the finals of the Transmiss. So I did do well in match play. And I think that must have been part of it, is I do hit it in the fairway and I do hit it around the greens and I don't make doubles. And when I do, it's the only thing I'm allergic to. When the doctor says, do you have any allergies? And I said, yes, I'm allergic to double bogeys. So I'm allergic to double bogeys and three putts. Other than that, I'm not allergic to anything.
That's great. That Walker Cup got you into the 1970 Masters, which was only the second professional tournament that you ever played in. And not only did you get into the tournament, you get paired with Gene Sarazen in the first round. What was that like?
Oh, yeah. I played Augusta yesterday, so it was so interesting. I was there with a former fraternity brother who's a member now, and it just seems surreal. I told him the story. You know, I said, you know, when I knew I was going to play, I was at Wake and we had a fraternity brother in North Augusta. And I went down there, you know, I don't know, eight times that winter and in spring going into the tournament. I said, I'll never get in this tournament again. So I'm going to go play as many practice rounds as I can. And they pair every amateur with a former Masters champion. Now, this is just my thoughts here. Now, I don't know exactly how it happened. The current amateur champion plays with the current Masters champion, and then they have a list and go down the list. So every amateur plays with a former champion. And I don't know where my name was on that list, but my pairing was Gene Sarazen, the oldest living Masters champion. Okay, so I'm kind of thinking it wasn't at the top. All right. And I thought it was depressing, really. I felt, you know, a lot of disrespect there. And now I look at it like, oh my God, I got to play with the second Masters champion born in 1902, the same year as Bobby Jones. He was 68 years old when I played with him. And I just think about it now, and it's one of the most warm, fuzzy memories of my life, that I got to play with him. And you know who my second round pairing was?
No.
Herman Kaiser.
Wow.
1946 Masters champion.
Wow.
So I played with two former Masters champions, the 35 and 46 champions. And I just think to myself, I mean, there's just nobody alive that got to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so special.
1976, Kemper Open, you break through, get your first win on tour. You beat Tom Weisskopf and Greer Jones by a stroke. You trailed Greer by a stroke going into that final round. What do you remember about going out there and bringing home your first PGA Tour victory?
Well, you know that it's this week. You know, this is the Quail Hollows this week. It's the Wells Fargo now. And gosh, what a memory. I mean, I lived south of town, so I was close by. And what I remember the most was Nancy's parents were there. My wife's parents were there. And we went out on Saturday, and I kept looking for it. I couldn't find her. And everybody said, well, you just missed her. She was over there. Well, what had happened is her dad had had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
At the golf course. Now, it was, you know, I hate to use this oxymoron, you know, minor heart attack, but it was a minor heart attack. And she'd gone to the hospital with him. And they didn't want to tell me. So all day long, they kept saying, oh, you just missed her. She's up ahead. She was walking with her parents. So I didn't know where she was. And I shot 67, had a great round, and moved into second place. And when I got in, they said, well, here, let us drive you to the hospital. So I went to the hospital. I stayed at the hospital till like 2 o'clock that night. And I just kept thinking. I was sitting there. I was listening to Dr. Winters. You know, I was just sitting there and I kept thinking that drive on 18 is so hard. And I just hit it over and over in my mind, you know, just what I'm going to do, exactly how I'm going to do it. If I got there and it meant something, I wanted to be able to do it. And I think it helped me a lot because I didn't go to bed till late, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning, my time was like 2 p.m. So I'd have been up, if I'd have gone to bed normally and gotten up, I'd have been just bored. I don't know what would happen, but I didn't wake up till like 11. So we got out there. It seemed more normal. And when I got to 18, I had a one shot lead, and I've seen the replay. I mean, I just got up there and I just was so confident in hitting it. And, you know, it's just such a memory, because winning is so hard. Ask Denny McCarthy, ask Ben Cole. You know, I mean, you know, winning on the PGA Tour is just really, really, really hard. And that week, you know, I had to make a three and a half footer on the last hole, and I'd missed one the year before. And I, every day when I walked off the putting green, I said, I put it down at 4 feet and said, this is your putt. This is the one you got to make. And I putted it every day I left the putting green. I hit that putt, the last putt. And when I got up there, I knocked it right in the middle. And I'd practiced it and practiced it and practiced it, trying to be ready for the moment.
Joe, just a couple more before I let you go. And you became the head men's golf coach here at Georgia State back in 2008. What was it like for you, not only being a golf coach, but also being a life coach for those kids?
Well, I had a 16-year-old earlier tonight, lives in the neighborhood, who's just turned into this really great player, and he's starting to play AJGAs. So him and his dad came over, and we talked about what's important, you know, how to, you know, what do you do? And I brought out my note cards, and I said to him, I said, his name's Sam. I said, Sam, let me ask you something. See, it's your life. It's not my life. I said, you know, you make it by being different. You make it by being you. I said, if you write a thank you note to every one of the tournament sponsors and the tournament directors in tournaments, when the college coaches come and they know those tournament directors, and they'll say, you know, which one of these kids do you think is really good? And your name will come up every time. I said, golf is important, and you need to shoot your low scores, but having a good attitude, I said, be good in school so they can just check that box and say, look, I don't need to worry about him. He works at it. He knows that, because you don't want to have a kid who flunks out. You don't want to offer them a scholarship. So I told the kids on my team, I said, look, guys, life goes on after golf. Here I am. I was 60 when I started. And I said, life goes on. And I've had a lot of different jobs. And I said, I graduated from Wake Forest, and I have never, ever regretted finishing what I started. I said, anybody who tells you it's cool to be stupid is just, that's somebody you don't want to listen to. It's cool. It's really cool to be smart. You don't lord it over somebody. You don't act that way, but really cool to be able to understand the world, to know what's going on in the world, to know how to handle, if you do play well, to know how to handle your money, to know how to be around the right people. I said, when, you know, Charlie Munger just died, you know, and this year, and I own some Berkshire Hathaway, and I listened to him all the time. One of the first things he said, get away from toxic people. That's what Dr. Winters was telling you. You get away from toxic people. Smile. If you just do this experiment, you can do it anywhere. Go to a child somewhere when you're walking and you're in an airport and you look at them and smile. They'll smile back. Now, a child will smile back every time. And yeah, some people won't. The world's crazy right now, but most people will smile. The world looks a lot better to you when you're smiling and when you've studied and when you got an idea about what's going on.
Joe, as I said to you a few weeks ago, several of your former peers that have come on this show have suggested to me that you would make a perfect PGA Tour commissioner. Please tell me if they asked you, you'd do it.
I'm 76 years old. I'm not going to do it. But, I think about it. I mean, we all look at live. We all look at the world. We all look at what's going on. And, you know, what would you do? And, you know, this is where right now is where you need a leader. It's just like our country. Right now is where you need a leader. And we don't have anybody running for it. But the tour needs a leader right now. They need somebody who sits down and says, all right, guys, we're going to figure this out. Let's figure this out. Because this is not a good place for golf. We need to get the best players together. So I'm hoping Jay does that. We need somebody who can lead. And golf is such a great game. It's doing so well in the country now with after COVID with people playing. I'd love to see the interest back. Where's Caitlin Clark when you need her, right? Come on, Caitlin.
That's right. Joe, it's been a huge privilege having you as part of the show. I got so much more that I'd love to get into with you at some point. I hope I get the privilege of having you back on the show again sometime.
Yeah,
soon.
I love doing it, man. Just as I told the boys on my team, I told the guys at the club, everyone's entitled to my opinion.
Indeed. You're fantastic, Joe. Thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come and join me this week. Like I say, I hope I get that privilege again soon.
You got it, buddy.
See you, Joe.
See you.
That is a great Joe Inman. How great is that guy, right? I just love having someone like Joe on the show. First of all, you talk about smile. We did that with Dr. Bob before this, and then again with Joe. But someone that oozes enthusiasm and oozes positivity and that sort of thing is just a treat to have on the show. And I didn't have an opportunity to tell him this, but I read a quote about Joe Inman, and it said, there are few people as enthusiastic as Joe Inman, and it doesn't make any difference what the subject might be. He knows how to be happy, and he doesn't mind trying to spread his feelings amongst his colleagues. How great is that? How great is it to be known for something like that? What a great guy. And like I say, I'm definitely going to be knocking on his door again soon to come back and be a part of the show. Okay, coming up in the final segment of this week's show is a guy who's been a wonderful supporter since the very beginning of the show 11 seasons ago, and that is the president and CEO of TaylorMade Golf, David Abeles. Before I bring David into the show, let's talk about our friends over at Squares Golf. And folks, do you sway and you're off balance in your golf swing? You know what? It could be your shoes. A golf shoe needs structure to provide stability and reduce sway. How can you tell if your shoes lack structure and are hurting your game? If you can hold your shoes by the toe and heel and twist it, toss it. Squares was designed for the perfect balance of structure and comfort. Isn't it time you tried Squares? Try the new Speedbolt at squares.com. That's SQAIRZ.com.
Frustrated with your golf game? Imagine playing with total confidence. Join me, LPGA Pro and golf mindset expert Debbie O'Connell, for my Conquer Your Golf Mind Challenge. Bill cuts 6 strokes and Lori is club champion. What's your goal? Click the link or text NEXT to 727-339-0106. Use code NEXT for $20 off. Your tee time for transformation is now. Will you take the shot?
Now let's talk about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade. From the very beginning, P790 irons have been rooted in clean aesthetics and thoughtful design. However, their true beauty is found beneath the surface. With AI-optimized weighting and speed foam air on the inside, every iron is uniquely designed to perform exactly how you need it to. As striking as they are on the outside, their true beauty lies within. Learn more about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade by checking out their website at TaylorMadeGolf.com. All right, now back and part of the show, just like he and the brand has been for pretty much the majority of the 11 years that I've been doing this show, is David Abeles, president and CEO of TaylorMade Golf. Let me remind you a little bit about David's background. He earned his degree in marketing and finance from the University of Connecticut. He joined TaylorMade as the general manager for their Asia Pacific division, later moved over to be the director of sales for North America. Left TaylorMade for a bit to go over to the Acushnet company to become their vice president of sales and marketing. Came back to TaylorMade as their executive vice president and general manager. Then took over as CEO and president back in 2015. And it's always a huge thrill to have him with me again here on Next on the Tee. Hey, David, how are you, my friend?
Chris, I'm great. I was thoroughly entertained listening to your conversation with Joe, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? How great is Joe Inman?
I'm not so sure I've ever heard the quote, everyone is entitled to my opinion. And what is really clear, and I think Joe Max may have dropped off the line, but he certainly has one.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but what an infectious energy. You know, I had a chance when I was a kid growing up in Central Connecticut at the Greater Hartford Open, which is now the Travelers Championship, to watch Joe play. And he wasn't just an articulate, thoughtful, charismatic type of guy. He was a heck of a player. So it was nice to listen to that segment with you and him.
I appreciate that. So, David, it's been a great year so far for the brand. Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda out there doing record-breaking things. You've had several other tour winners this year. The new QI tent line is doing fantastic. What's it been like for you and the brand so far in the first half of 2024?
Well, thanks, Chris. Yeah, it's hard to believe we're coming up on the first half. We've got, I think, 54 days to go, but who's counting to close the first half of our financial year here? But more importantly, the metrics that we look at very closely to determine the strength and momentum of the TaylorMade brand and certainly our product lines and how we create and add value to customers is obviously what's most important to our company. Earlier this year, we launched a new technology on a 10K inertia platform called QI10, which is really, for the first time in the history of golf, an opportunity to decouple what has been the biggest challenge in driver design for decades upon decades, which is either make them fast or you make them forgiving, Chris. But very rarely do you find a product that is industry-leading speed and industry-leading forgiveness combined in one, because those two forces, from a physics and physical standpoint, tend to work in opposition of each other. And QI10 has been something that we've been really working on for the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. And through the course and evolution of our carbon face technology and the use of mass property in new constructions in the QI10 driver, we came to market in late January, early February. And I'm incredibly humbled that the product performance is tremendous. It quickly got in the bags of our tour players, as well as numerous tour players that aren't contracted TaylorMade athletes. And to date, if my count is right and I'm updated, we've had 15 wins on the LPGA, PGA, and other worldwide tours in this driver. And notably, you mentioned them earlier, the tremendous success of Scotty and on this run and tear that he's on, winning 4 of 5, finishing second in the fifth, and doing that with QI10 in his bag for sure. And Nelly winning 5 in a row is amazing. But the story extends beyond them. It's into Rory and how well Colin's beginning to play now. We're thrilled. Our business is strong. Our market shares continue to grow. The energy and performance validation around this product continues to be something that we're inspired by. And our tour play clearly is some of the best in the world, if not the best in the world right now. And I'm looking forward to seeing Tiger come back and play in a couple of weeks and continue to evolve and grow in his comeback as well.
So, David, to your point, I know you guys have great R&D and engineers that are working on the next great thing. Talk about how you're able to come up with better and better technology each year with the golf clubs and the golf balls and the years of research and testing that goes into those product lines, because I imagine what you're developing and looking forward to bringing out in 2025 didn't just start back in January.
Fair question, Chris. You know, it depends on the technology. You know, when you say define the process and how far in advance are you working on certain advanced technologies to really drive a performance advantage for golfers? And we try to drive a performance advantage for golfers, not just on the tour, but more importantly, for all skill levels, recreational players, mid to higher handicaps. The design technologies that we work on with the best players in the world have to be as relevant for them as they are as relevant for those who buy our products and support our brand at the consumer level. So products like QI10, the technology in different parts, the face dynamics and thermally compressed carbon face is literally 20 years in the making. It took us 20 years to bring that to market with Stealth, took us the last 36 months to refine it, to get it to a point in QI10 with a new geometric design in the product, in new face performance requirements, and ultimately mass property requirements to deliver upon what I shared with you earlier this afternoon. So some technologies, Chris, are literally 5 years out. Some are longer than that. Right now, we're working on design and development options for drivers, irons, certain fairway technologies, even putter technologies that could range from, you know, 18 to 24 months, upwards of 60 months or 5 years out. The process starts really with a concept. And QI10 started with a concept, which is, all right, how do we take these mutually exclusive variables in driver design and performance, which is forgiveness and speed, and find a way to technically bring them together so there's no compromises in either one of them? So that concept started 5 years ago. How do we really embrace that notion? And then technically, how do we utilize existing technology and technology in new form to bring new thinking together to begin prototyping and then designing and developing and prototyping again and testing and then testing again to ultimately be confident that we can bring a product to market that delivers upon that promise. So, Chris, the short answer to your question is contingent upon category, contingent upon product, contingent upon technology within those products could be anywhere as short as 18 months and upwards as long as 20 years. And mostly it's usually 3 to 5 year cycles as we work through technology to really find enhanced performance in certain categories. And each year we're iterating. Every year we're learning about QI10 of 2024 and how we can make it slightly better for 25 or 6 or 7. So the iterative process in innovation is a never-ending process. And that's why most companies, Chris, actually don't do it. A lot of companies will talk about innovation as central or core to their ideology or the way they think about their business. But it takes a lot of risk to do it because at times when you innovate and try new concepts, they don't always succeed. And we saw some of that as we worked through 2024. We had the fast 2023. We had the fastest driver in golf in Stealth 2, but we had some compromised durability in certain areas that we had to fix. And I'm thrilled that we had those learnings. Don't like going through it, but thrilled that we have those learnings heading into QI10, where we've resolved all that. And here we are with the top selling driver in the world right now. And certainly something that we're very proud of and excited to share with golfers at every level of the pyramid.
So let's talk about the QI10 driver, because the 10K that the QI10 references is heel to toe, top to bottom moment of inertia. And until this year, no driver had ever been able to reach that level. How did you guys get there?
Yeah, it was a challenge to say the least, and I'm thrilled. I mean, we've got some of the best aerospace, mechanical, and even optical engineers that are working here at TaylorMade in our headquarters in Carlsbad. There are two primary variables that we were able to affect to ultimately get to really 10,000 grams per centimeter squared. That's the measure of inertia, the combined measure inertia across the X and the Y axis, which is top to bottom, as you mentioned, and essentially across the face horizontally as well. And that's that those two variables include mass property allocation in the core construct of the driver. So that's why we have carbon sole panels on the crown, carbon sole panels in the sole, which frees up significant weight. And every gram matters, Chris. Like 1 gram can be the difference between 5% and dispersion if you actually allocate it appropriately in a driver. So that could be the difference between hitting, you know, fairways or not hitting fairways. So we're able to allocate mass properties in the driver to a point where we can stretch those mass properties across the horizontal and vertical metrics of the driver that give it that stability. So in simplest form, a club's moment of inertia is a club's resistance to twisting. And so you may have seen some of our high-speed commercials or some of our high-speed video work that you can catch on our website. And you see a standard driver, prior generation driver impact on a high heel, or excuse me, a low heel or high toe impact, and the rotational dynamics of that driver, how far that driver will move at impact relative to how stable a 10K QI10 driver will be at impact. And when you see that in live form at impact, it's amazing to see how stable the driver is, which then correlates to how straight it goes and to ensure that the launch conditions, speed and spin, remain constant across the face contingent upon where you hit it. So the first variable is mass properties moving further to the heel, moving further through the sole to ensure that there's that rotational stability at impact in the driver. The second way we did it is through the evolution of the carbon face. And that's what I referenced earlier. So that's 30% lighter than titanium with more efficient ball speed transfer. So now we've got the inertia and combined with a carbon face, so we don't compromise any ball speed. We save mass properties in the face, reallocate it through the driver, and the next thing you know is this high-performance piece of equipment that became QI10. That's how we got there.
Let's talk golf balls a little bit, David, because you've come out with a new version of the TP5 and the TP5X this year. I'm a TP5 player, love that golf ball. Clearly, you're doing more and more things on the golf ball side to make that a better product. How do you go about taking what you already did in the TP5 and the TP5X and then finding a way to make that even better?
Yeah, well, Chris, I'm thrilled you're playing it. Thanks. And hopefully many of your listeners, if you're not playing it, give it a try. That's all we ever ask at TaylorMade. If we can provide a product that helps you play a little bit better, give it a shot. And hopefully you'll see the same performance advantages that not only Chris is seeing, but importantly, players like Rory or Colin and Nelly, the team are seeing. It's amazing. So what we did to the new TP5 and 5X is change the core formulation and the cover formulation, including the chemistry of the cover and the dimple design in the TP5X. And we had arguably the best performing we still have the only five-piece cast urethane golf ball. And so when you have five-piece construction in a cast urethane product, you're able to decouple both feel and speed, right? Typically, to make a golf ball faster, it becomes harder. But if you get the cover and core formulations working in concert, then ultimately you can solve some of that. The reason it's five layers is because you don't hit a driver on every shot. So you need optimal launch conditions when you're compressing with a pitching wedge, a seven iron, a longer iron, a fairway wood, or even a driver. And that five-piece construction based on your ball speeds compresses different cores and mantles, which then enables you to optimize performance throughout the entire bag. So the new products take that even further. And what we're seeing in the TP5X is better aerodynamics and better feel around the green. We're seeing literally, I can speak personally about this, Chris, maybe you've experienced as well. I picked up a half a club in my iron play with the new TP5X golf ball, which is amazing. Staying in the air longer, moderating spin rate, so I continue to have the appropriate descent angle, so my approach shots into the green retain the integrity of descent angle and spin, which gives me proximity, but they're going further. And I don't know of anybody that doesn't want to hit it a bit further. So I'm experiencing that, and I'm not, you know, I don't play at the same ball speed certainly as our tour players do. So both products have a new cover formulation. They have a new cover design. They have a new core formulation that enables us to go faster without compromising any greenside spin or feel. And then it works throughout the bag in the five-piece construction. So it's a beautiful product and clearly being adopted well. We also have visual technology in those balls in the form of picks. And we also have a stripe concept and a three-piece cast urethane golf ball and a new two-piece golf ball called Speed Soft Ink. So for the first time really in the history of our company, we've got a comprehensive line of golf balls that is really helping grow our market share domestically and internationally.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you're a half a club further with the new golf ball, because here's the thing, and I'm starting to connect some dots here, because I've got the new QI10 woods and irons in my bag now, the new TP5 golf ball, I've got my Garmin launch monitor, and I go out in the backyard where I've got a mat and a net, and I hit back there, and then when I get in the simulators, when I got fit for those irons, and all of a sudden, an 8-iron that I normally hit 150 yards is going 165. I'm finding the same not only when I got fit, but also in my backyard, and then when I take the Garmin out at the driving range and I'm hitting these new clubs. So to me, now I'm marrying both things together, and now it's starting to make even more sense about how I'm getting a club further than I used to be.
Wow, Chris, that's incredible. I mean, great to hear. And again, the validation point is when players like you and I or any of your audience get a chance to try that and see that. And we're seeing that at our test facilities, not just here in the U.S., but around the world when we're doing our ball testing in advance of the launch. If we can't meet an improved performance standard on any product here at TaylorMade, we actually won't launch it. So we have to be able to demonstrate that we're getting better and that we're improving the performance of the products that we make. And you know, for the first time really since the launch of the original TP5 and 5X products, this one is showing like significant improvement. We're always seeing modest improvements, which is worth launching every couple of years, but this one is showing significant gains in distance and as again, importantly in golf ball design, maintaining the launch and spin qualities throughout the entire bag. So that's terrific to hear. And we're seeing that in everybody that's trying it right now. So that's exciting for us.
David, just a couple more before I let you go. And you're speaking about the headquarters and the promise that you guys give to us as consumers. I had former Giants and Chiefs defensive back Mark Collins on the show a little earlier this year. Mark plays TaylorMade clubs. He talked about how he came by the Kingdom practically unannounced a few months ago and got his clubs adjusted on the fly. He bragged a lot about the great experience that he had there and the service that he got. Talk about the customer experience that you guys provide, regardless of whether you're a former NFL player or just someone like me.
Well, I'm glad Mark had a great experience. And, you know, I don't know if you, Chris, have had the chance to come to our Kingdom or some of your listeners may have had that experience. You know, we kind of look at the Kingdom as the top of the pyramid as it relates to any global experience and customization and how we have 360 TrackMan integrated into the technology there and the expertise of those fitters that literally are working with our team, what we call Team TaylorMade. Tiger is on that tee with frequency. Rory's on that team with frequency. Colin, Tommy, and go through right through the roster. Nelly, Brooke. So it's an amazing place to come and certainly accessible if you're in Southern California or if you want to make a trip here through our website. But our fitting infrastructure extends all over the country and around the world. So there are 3,000 qualified club professionals that are part of our staff in every market in America that have fitting tools and resources to be able to fit into our golf ball or our equipment, just like Tiger or Rory will get at the Kingdom. They have the same expertise. They have the same training. And they have most of the same equipment to do what would be required to really show marked improvements in performance. And we always say this at TaylorMade. The best way to improve your performance is getting into a better product and being supported by a great fitter. Those two things together are the perfect formula to really demonstrate that what you're playing today and how you're playing today could materially improve tomorrow. And I know as golfers, we all, you know, aspire to get better, right? It's the beauty of this game. I hit a beautiful golf shot. I'd like to hit that beautiful golf shot more frequently, lower my scores and compete and improve my handicap. We have built an infrastructure, again, domestically, internationally, with fitting expertise and resources. It's all accessible on our website. Just click under the fitting tab on the website, plug in your zip code, and a bunch of fitters will pop up where you will have access to those fitters to go experience those fits and be able to get into TaylorMade products that are built for you and customized for you.
David, finally, you've got a great app. The TaylorMade Plus app is fantastic. Talk about all the things you get when you download and use that app.
Yeah, that's the service side of our business that, you know, quite frankly, we probably don't get as much credit for as the equipment and the ball and the tour play and the brand and certainly what's going on right now with Sunday Red. But we made a commitment to golfers. You know, so our mission at our company is to be the best performance golf brand in the world. But behind that mission, why we exist, if you ask any one of our 2,000 employees, why does TaylorMade exist? The answer would be the same, which is to help golfers of all skill levels play the game better. Well, certainly one of the ways to do that is to improve the performance of our equipment, improve the performance of our golf ball, make sure we have fitting resources to do things we just talked about. But the other way is to provide services that can enhance the golfer experience. And that's what TaylorMade Plus enables us to do. It's an app that you can find on the App Store and just upload it at no charge. And you'll have access to instruction. You'll have access to video instruction. You'll have access to limited edition products. You'll have access to shot tracking technology, all things that go outside and work outside of here's the new TaylorMade driver, the new Spider putter, the new TP5 or 5X golf ball. That sits outside of this, which is services and options through the app that will help you track your score, that will help you track your shots, that will help you ultimately get instruction, that will help you go through a fitting, even in a virtual form, to help you see better performance and products that would be recommended for you. So we'll continue to work to enhance the app to help meet that why we exist notion that I just shared with you. And it's an exciting time, right? The access to information via advanced technology in form of applications or even on our website is getting better and better, or even through any of our social channels. We're constantly working to provide consumers the opportunity to learn more from our company.
David, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things you guys are doing, whether it's on your website or it's on social media.
Chris, I'm going to let you do that because every time I sign off, I sound like a pitch man. I'll let you do that. Obviously, I talked about our website, which is TaylorMadeGolf.com. We just launched a new apparel and footwear brand with Tiger Woods called SundayRed.com. That's the best place to access us. But socially, you can follow us on all of our Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook feeds. Now I sound like a total pitch man. But Chris, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing for golf. Thank you for having me on again. You've got a wonderful base of listeners that's growing. And hopefully everybody will benefit from what should be some good weather as we turn the corner here toward Valhalla. And I would encourage you and really be grateful if you give a shot at our new products. I think you'll enjoy them.
David, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. You're always fantastic, my friend. I'm already looking forward to next time. Hopefully that's very, very soon.
You got it. Thanks so much, Chris. Take care.
You too. Take care, David. That is the great David Abeles, folks. And again, at TaylorMadeGolf is where you're going to find them on social media. TaylorMadeGolf.com is the website. David has just become just a wonderful friend of this show. I can't thank him enough for his support over the years. Those guys have been in the corner of Next on the Tee almost since the very beginning of the show. And as you guys know, we are in the 11th season here. When I think about the equipment that I am playing, again, QI10, with the woods and the irons and the wedges and then the TP5 golf ball. When I put all of that together, as David was talking through the course of that segment, I'm legitimately 10 to 15 yards further than I was last year. And look, I just turned 59 a couple of weeks ago, as you guys know. So it's not like I'm getting any younger. So the equipment and the quality that they put into it is really making a difference in my game. He talked about kind of marrying it together with a great fitter. So as I went through that process, making sure I've got the right shafts and all that sort of thing, again, not buying it off the rack, not just guessing at what I need, going and getting measured and getting fit. And then you put all of that together with the great technology that they have and their new irons and their new woods. And again, with the new golf balls, that is making all the difference in my game. So I highly encourage you guys to go out there and check it out. Go online and just kind of read about it, first of all. And they've got the ability to match you up with what golf ball is right for your game. And they'll take you through a ball fitting online. But check out all the great technology that they are putting into what they are doing and refining it, as David said, year after year to make it better. Look, I wasn't sure how they were going to make everything they had better from last year to this year. And they made that difference. So the QI10 piece is just off the chains. Great. So go online, check it out. Let me know what you think. Again, at CT Mascaro on Instagram and on X. And you can go online to nextonthetee.net and you can fill in all your comments there as well and send it to me. I'm genuinely interested in what you're seeing, but I'm telling you, you put it in play and it's going to make your game a heck of a lot better. So I'm already looking forward to next time with David. He's just been, like I say, a wonderful supporter of this show, and I can't thank him enough for what he's meant to me and this show over the years. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Bill Bergen, Dr. Bob Winters, Joe Inman, and David Abeles for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are very excited to have Jim Gallagher Jr. back. He has become a wonderful friend of the show. Ward Clayton will also be here. He'll be making his Next on the Tee debut. And we'll get a return visit from John Hughes, one of the great instructors in our game and a wonderful friend of the show. Looking forward to catching up with John. He is out at Macklemore. He's got his summer schools out there. He kind of goes back and forth between Macklemore and Orlando from time to time, but really takes up residency in the summer and the early part of the fall up there at Macklemore. So it's going to be a wonderful show. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. Quick reminder that you can find the show available as a podcast just about anywhere you get your podcast content. But in particular, we're out there on the Pittsburgh Tribune review site. So just go to triblive.com, click on sports. You're going to find the most recent episode right there on the homepage of the sports section. You can also click on sports and then podcast, and you'll be able to find every episode from this season there for you. You can also find this show available on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audio Boom, and Player.fm. And as I always say, sincere thanks to the great folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast on your favorite device. But as always, most of all, my sincere thanks to all of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next week, hit them straight, my friends.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.